Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, the final hour of the show for 2024. How about that? Hard to believe we have made it to December 31st. And I'm glad. I mean, there were times when you weren't sure how this year was going to end. You got to, just to be honest about it, it was not very clear at that point. So you want to make sure that we take stock of all that, and we're appreciative of all of that, and appreciative to all of you who stuck with us, of course, through the year and through the trials and tribulations of this political year to get us through to today. I think that's great. Hope you have a happy new year and whatever your plans are. Here's my question for those of us who work this shift. It's always a good one. Kim St. Ange, do you expect to actually see midnight tonight?
Absolutely not.
No? Carl Middleman, you're going to see midnight tonight?
No, I'm getting a full night's sleep before I drive 3,000 miles.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. I doubt very seriously that we will. Sometimes we make it to 11 o'clock Central, which means you can watch the ball drop at midnight on the East Coast. So we might make it to that, but beyond that, I'm not holding my breath.
I feel like New Year's is just... I don't want to say a letdown, but it's an overrated holiday.
Amateur night.
What's that, Carl?
It's amateur night.
It is definitely amateur night.
Stay off the roads.
There's no doubt about that. I have to say that, but you know, it is a day. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. I want to wish a congratulations on a career well served for our friend and Eureka Fire Chief Greg Brown. This is, as he wakes up this morning, his final day of work, and he is going to sign off this afternoon from his duty after 43 years of service in Eureka. So, Chief, congratulations. It's been an honor to get to know you over the years. I think I mentioned I first met him when I first started working here back in 1993, and he's been with Eureka all those years, and he's getting ready to take it easy. Maybe go dig up some dinosaur bones or something. I don't know what he's going to do.
He's just a solid guy.
He is.
And yeah, I think that's going to be a big loss for Eureka. I know they have got a fantastic person who's going to be taking his spot, but yeah.
Scott Bartlemass will be stepping up into that role, and we're happy for him as well. And anyway, Chief, congratulations. We need to get together down at Chickenelli's and have the Chief Brown special. It's not even on the menu. You just walk in and order it. It's pretty awesome.
What was the Mark Cox special at Chickenelli's?
Oh, it was just basically some spicy breakfast sausage and hash browns and eggs.
Smothered in gravy.
Smothered in gravy. Mm. Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
And then you walk out without paying.
No, you do not, Carl Middleman. What are you talking about? Anyway, we'll go down. We'll have breakfast or lunch sometime, Chief, and congratulate and celebrate your fantastic career down there in Eureka. Carl, right now, let's get to this morning's top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They went after Trump hard. They went after his supporters. I believe in law and order. I do not believe in violence, but I do know that they turned a blind eye to certain individuals on one side of the political spectrum and went hard after conservatives and Republicans.
Yeah, that is an FBI agent who stepped away from the agency because of what she said she saw inside FBI headquarters. And she's speaking out about it. Her name is Nicole Parker.
The idea that this was the most underreported story of 2024, it was the most underreported story of 23, 22, 21, and 2020. Joe Biden is the only president in history who makes the sign language interpreter shrug.
Yeah, very true. I just have to stop say that. Jimmy Fallon is like, listen, his dementia wasn't just underreported this year. This has been an ongoing problem.
11 wins last year, and we got 10. We got 10 this year. I mean, the whole month, let's go get 10. Let's go get 10. Let's finish. Let's be finishers. And that's what we did. I'm just so proud of that.
Congratulations to Mr. Mizzou there, the MVP of the bowl yesterday, Brady Cook, after winning that bowl. And just what a great competitor. What a great comeback win by the Missouri Tigers.
He wrote letters, and I know about this, to all of our allies and to Arab states, asking them to abandon their cooperation and coalition with the United States of America. If it's not treasonous, it's borderline.
Yeah, Scott Jennings, thank you. Scott Jennings on CNN yesterday talking about the Jimma Carter years. You know, Kim, I know that you were out yesterday and weren't really here when we were talking about this. And when someone of note, particularly a former president in this case, passes away, I want to try to give them credit for their accomplishments, for a life obviously well lived in Jimmy Carter's case. He lasted 100 stinking years. I don't know how aware he was the last year or so of it, based on them rolling him out of the House around election time and claiming he was endorsing Kamala Harris and claiming he was voting for Kamala Harris. I'm not sure Jimmy knew where he was at the time, but in that sense, he's not a great deal different than our current president. So there you have it. What I said yesterday was, and I'm just trying to be fair, is that he was an awful president. I lived through that. I was really, my first political awareness was during the Carter administration, but he went on to redeem himself in the eyes of a lot of people by putting his body where his mouth was and volunteering for Habitat for Humanity. And I mean, he was a bleeding heart liberal. He was, even if Scooter disagreed with me on that, he was. And he pushed his beliefs around the world, in many cases to the detriment of the United States. I said this yesterday. He certainly was no friend of Israel, even though he claims to have tried to broker Middle East peace, because he was the one, if he didn't originate it, he certainly is one of the biggest pushers of the two-state solution. He honestly believed in his little peanut heart that terrorists who want Israel wiped off the map would ever agree to peace with Israel. That will never happen. And I think it's very important to understand the ways that he worked against America's best interests sometimes. Two things can be true. He may have believed he was doing something good, but as Scott Jennings pointed out, he finally, after listening to all these people praise Carter over and over and over again yesterday, he got into it with one of the guys on the set and said, listen, here's what you're ignoring. Listen.
In the run-up to the Persian Gulf War, he wrote letters,
and I know about this,
to all of our allies and to Arab states, asking them to abandon their cooperation and coalition with the United States of America. If it's not treasonous, it's borderline treasonous. And so I hear what you're saying about the humanitarianism, but when you're an ex-president and you have served in that office, I think you have a duty to the United States and only to the United States. And when he did that and other instances, to me, it showed that he cared more about his own legacy than he did about the country, and I think that is wrong.
Thank you, Scott Jennings, for pointing that out. He sent letters to Arab states telling them not to do anything to help the United States of America. That's foreign interference in many ways. You're supposed to forget those things when somebody passes away, but if we're going to celebrate Carter's life, you have to also talk about the truth of what happened.
Well, and that's it. When someone passes, you only typically want to talk about the good things, right?
Yeah. I'm glad Scott Jennings pointed that out. I had forgotten about that, to be honest with you. So that is something that happened yesterday as well. All right, coming up, we are going to talk to Brian Westbrook. He's going to join us in studio. Of course, he runs Coalition Life. He was one of those people out there fighting hard to defeat Amendment 3. Obviously, We lost that fight collectively. What happens next? What are we looking forward to in 2025? We'll get Brian in studio at about 8:35. Stay tuned. All right, so of all the things we have to be thankful for in 2024 is the fact that Kamala Harris did not get elected president of the United States. Can I get a shout out on that one? Wow. I mean, like Trump, in July of this year, we dodged a bullet. We turned our head at just the right time, America, and we dodged a bullet. For so many reasons, but not the least of which is the energy policy in the United States of America, because they have the equivalent of a Kamala Harris in charge in the state of New York. Her name is Kathy Hochul. She is a complete idiot, and she lives in the barren Northwest, right? She lives in a town where they have. They measure snowfall, by the foot. That's what happens in Buffalo. It snows. Understand what this woman just did in the state of New York that we probably would have faced in America had Kamala Harris become president of the United States. This is Cheryl Cassoni from Fox Business reporting on this. Listen.
Well, let's talk energy. So New York Governor Kathy Hochul approved a massive new climate law. Forces oil, nat gas, and coal companies to pay more than $75 billion to the state for carbon emissions. She claims contributes to climate change.
She's forcing energy companies that deal with fossil fuels to pay $75 billion in fines to the state of New York to make up for what she claims is the environmental damage that they're doing. Think about that for just a minute. Legitimate United States companies who produce energy, particularly in parts of New York where you better have some reliable energy like natural gas, or you might just become a popsicle. This is a Republican congresswoman from up there in Buffalo. His name is Langworthy, and he was talking with Cheryl about this disaster.
This is complete disrespect to the taxpayers of the state of New York. I mean, I represent the Buffalo area. Kathy Hochul's from the Buffalo area, and she's completely forgotten the fact that, you know, it snows a little bit here. It's a cold climate. It's a place that we need to have plentiful, reliable, and safe natural gas able to heat our homes in a tough winter.
All right.
And this is going to be put a huge burden on taxpayers going forward. It's going to stifle growth of the state. It's going to accelerate the hemorrhage of population that New York State's had to offer.
Yeah. I mean, who would move to New York State with a business? And if you had a business or a home, would you not try to get the hell out? I mean, I think it may be to that point. And like he jokingly said there, but it's true. Their population is shrinking for that reason. I was having a conversation with a friend yesterday who is a business person and owns a business and has administrated very large departments before. And I asked him, would you ever relocate your company to the city of St. Louis? And he said, hell no. Who would? Because of the earnings tax and the other things that go along with that, even if they try to give you some sort of a tax break, you and all of your employees, including your upper management, are on the hook to pay this tax on top of everything else. Why would you subject yourself to that?
I agree. And St. Louis can't seem to figure out that that's one of the main reasons why a lot of companies are leaving, in addition to the crime. I mean, you think about the businesses on Wash Ave.
Yes.
How many times have some of those businesses been broken into?
Well, or had shootings right out front. I mean,
or drag racing.
Last week while you were off, we had somebody shot about three or four blocks north of here off of Tucker. I mean, it's happening. They want to talk to you about the fact that the homicide rate is down. You should feel good about the fact that compared to 2020, the number of people killed is down. It's not down because of more policing, which is the it's not. If anything, it's pure random luck, and maybe the fact that Gabe Gore locked up a few more people this year than was happening under the Kim Gardner regime. Potentially, the recidivism rate is probably a little bit lower because these people are in jail and they're not given a free pass to get out. But it's not because of common sense approaches to the problem, which is why I think one thing we'll definitely be talking about in Jeff City with our legislators for next year is when, not if, but when does the city police department return to state control? Having somebody like Mayor Jones with her hand in the pie and making the decisions over staffing and policing in the city of St. Louis is a non-starter. It's not working when you've got somebody who believed in defunding the police, and now we're down hundreds of police officers in the city. A little bit of flu sweeps through, you've got a scary low number of officers patrolling the streets on any given night because they can't work enough people overtime to fill all the shifts. It's on the borderline of being a crisis in the city, and nobody here seems to take it seriously. Just amazing. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Brian Westbrook, executive director and founder of Coalition Life, about what he's looking forward to in 2025. Back in a minute. Hey, happy New Year morning to you. If you're up and at him this morning, Sue's been keeping an eye on the roads for you. I don't know how much traffic is out there, but there is some rain. So just stay tuned and we'll get you any updates if anything happens here. We've been talking a lot about New Year's resolutions and what we're hoping to see legislatures and legislators accomplish in 2025. And obviously one of the big local stories in 2024 was the unfortunate passage of Amendment 3. We all did our best fighting against it, but really we're overwhelmed and outspent by forces outside the state of Missouri that wanted abortion on demand up until birth. Very, very sad situation indeed. And we invited Brian Westbrook in with us from Coalition Life to talk a little bit more about maybe what 2025 will hold for us. Welcome in.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and Happy New Year. I'm glad to, you know, kind of round out the year with you guys. It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. You know, we talked about the fact that our disappointment on Amendment 3 passing goes beyond just the fact that it passed. It's the fact that our legislature did nothing the last two or three years to at least make that barrier more difficult to get over if you're going to change the Missouri Constitution.
Right. You know, as known as IP reform, or initiative petition reform. And I know earlier this year, one of the big stories was obviously the fact that there was this initiative in Jefferson City to get IP reform on the ballot. But of course, that failed. And so, I mean, there are efforts, looking into 2025, that's one of the big priorities in Jefferson City to get IP reform passed. But are we going to do it with current leadership? I'm not quite sure. And so I think one of the big things we need to look forward to here early in 2025 is, you know, who's the Speaker of the House going to be? I know there's a big battle right now with Justin Sparks and whether or not, you know, he could be successful or not. Or could John Patterson continue to, you know, make this happen? I don't know, but I think that's one thing we really need to watch. But yeah, IP reform is really, really important, but it's also very difficult to get passed at the ballot box. You kind of have to ask the voters, hey, here in the city of St. Louis, give a little more control to people in, you know, Rolla or Cape Girardeau or something else. And so I think getting that passed through the ballot is also going to be difficult in 2025.
What could be done, though, as it relates specifically to Amendment 3? I know we've talked about how, like, we were talking to John Lamping earlier, and he was saying if we could get something on the ballot that said, basically, I think his wording was, is an unborn baby a person or a human, something like that, that would, in some way, at least put some restrictions on it. Because didn't the judge just clear the way for Planned Parenthood to basically resume abortions here in the state?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, we need to talk about that. So the judge gave some preliminary injunctions but was not able to, or didn't give all of the preliminary injunctions. The most important one is the licensing process. So the licensing process was not, they didn't get a preliminary injunction for that one. And so Planned Parenthood, basically, they went to Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else and complained and said, well, we didn't get everything we wanted. They removed all of the age restrictions. They removed sexist and racist abortions. So you can do an abortion on a black baby simply because they're black. Or an abortion on a girl simply because they're a girl. I think that's ridiculous, right? But I think it's important for us to realize that the licensing process still is in place. And so abortions are not currently, to the best of our knowledge, happening in Missouri, or at least not legally speaking. I think it's important for us to watch that process and make sure that they get a license, and, well, or maybe denied their license, hopefully. But I think watch that process through 2025 and see where the judges go on that one. But I think on the ballot, I think it's we saw this happen with Clean or Cleaner Missouri. They wanted to give the districting rules to the single Democrat in Jefferson City, the auditor at the time. That person has now been replaced. But they wanted to give this power to redistrict the entire state of Missouri to the single Democrat. And so Clean Missouri passed, but then they came back in with Cleaner Missouri and basically reversed it completely. And so I think we have an opportunity here. I mean, there was only a 1.6% margin on this thing. This wasn't something that, you know, people in Missouri really, really want abortion. I don't think that's the case. I think they were lied to with $30 million of lies. And now we're seeing that, you know, Planned Parenthood comes out with their lawsuit and they want abortions in all 9 months of pregnancy. They don't want doctors to have to do abortions. They don't want admitting privileges. They don't want informed consent. And so their lawsuit is really, I mean, that's our playbook, because they didn't say anything about miscarriage or ectopic pregnancies in their lawsuit. They didn't say that they cared about these types of things. They only cared about abortion. And so I think we can repeal and replace really quickly, assuming that our friends in Jefferson City have the guts to do that.
Yeah, they got to get on the ball and agree on something and move forward with it. It's a resolution to get it on the ballot is basically what we're talking right. about. In the next general election, which I'm assuming would be August or November?
Yeah, August or November.
Right.
And so, I mean, they have to move quickly and move this forward. I'm hearing right now that their priority is more likely going to be IP reform versus Amendment 3. I'm not sure I'd take either one of those.
Yeah.
But one thing that we're doing through Coalition Life is actually looking at what can you do at the city level? And it's kind of a weird way to look at this whole thing, but there's something called the Comstock Act, which was in 1873, post-Civil War. There's actually a law on federal books right now that says you can't transport abortion-causing drugs or abortion-causing, quote-unquote, paraphernalia. And we're looking at the city levels and saying, can we allow local citizens to enforce these federal laws on the books? And a friend of mine through Sanctuary Cities for the Unborn has already passed this in 80 different cities throughout the United States. And we're currently working in Missouri to see if we can get these passed at the local level. Which doesn't outlaw abortion, but it outlaws the transportation of the materials that then would cause abortions.
So it would limit it, essentially,
actually,
substantially.
It's like having a knitting shop without yarn or needles.
Yarn.
Yeah. Right, right,
yeah.
right, right.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, having an abortion facility without the materials to do abortions. Mm-hmm. And so this is currently federal law on the books. It's still on the books from 1873. Trump could enforce this nationwide on day one if he really wanted to. I don't think he will, but I think he could do this on day one if he really wanted to enforce the Comstock Act nationwide. And so what we're saying is that local individuals could file lawsuits related to this law and actually protect children one city at a time. So there's 960 cities in the state of Missouri. And, you know, some of them have 500 people in them, but we can do this one city at a time and not have to wait for our friends in Jefferson City.
Yeah. Brian, I know people go to your website, coalitionlife.org. They can read more about this. But one thing I appreciate the fact that you do is Amendment 3, we can talk about what we might be able to do next. In the meantime, there's a lot of other work to be done, right, in terms of encouraging women to seek adoption and other options.
Absolutely. There's 75 pregnancy centers in the state of Missouri, including our own at Coalition Life.
Right.
And we serve over 1,000 clients every single year through our pregnancy center. And it's a great work that we do. Our team is fantastic. We have 45 people on our staff, not to mention our 12,000 volunteers throughout the Midwest. And so I think it's important that we continue that work, regardless of what happens on, I'm here talking about a little bit of politics, right? But what we do every single day is we're on the ground talking to women who are going through these situations and problems. And so we want to be there with them through Coalition Life, the work that we do, and, of course, the 75 other pregnancy centers in the state of Missouri. I'd say get out there, support them. It's the end of year, of course. You know, send some donations that way, of course.
Sure.
But make sure you get involved and engaged in that work.
Yep. CoalitionLife.org is the website to find out more. Brian, thanks for all that you do, by the way, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Yeah. Great having you in.
It's a pleasure, and it's an honor to be here again.
Absolutely. All right, quick break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
You may be wondering why you're listening to Donna Summer on the Mark Cox Morning Show on the final day of the year. Carl?
I love Donna Summer. I wish I could have seen her. And it would have been her birthday today.
Today would have been her birthday. Well, how old would she have been, Carl?
I don't.
You
cancer
don't know.
Sucks.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, maybe you'll be dancing the night away for your New Year's Eve tonight.
Hope so.
Is that the plan? Are you doing anything?
It's definitely on my plan.
You're going to dance with Easton.
Remember that used to be such a big deal? Like that you'd plan your night out and you're going to be out there till midnight, 2, 3 in the morning, eating at a Denny's at 2 in the morning, having a good time.
Yep. Girls would buy it, spend $100 on a new dress and your hair all done up and then go pay it. Oh, gosh. I don't miss those days.
Stay away from the champagne. That's my advice. That's what always got you at the end. You got to do that at midnight and then it's hangover city. So
some traditions, you have to eat herring at midnight for New Year.
Ah, that probably would help. Speaking of fish, I saw this story that Fox is covering, and Fox Business Kelly Saberi is reporting on this morning. Kelly, thank you for giving me a few minutes. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy New Year. I love seafood. But I joked here for many years that I would never eat an Impossible Burger because I couldn't wrap my brain around lab-grown meat. What are they doing to seafood, Kelly? Please tell me 2025 isn't going to bring this on the country.
So there are quite a few companies around the world that are now dabbling in making a fish-free seafood alternative. For similar reasons to why the fake meat industry kind of popped up, it is for the environment and it is to combat overfishing. Now, the company that we are talking about specifically is based where I work in Chicago, and it's called Aquacultured Foods. And they are one of the only companies that are using cellulose and using fermentation to make that cellulose to create this product. So a lot of the fish-free seafood that you'll see out there on the market right now is maybe made from vegetables or fruits or other plants. But this is really made from its own homegrown cellulose, which is a fiber found in plants, but it is made through a special process similar to creating beer, if you can believe it.
Wow. Scallops? They can make you something that has the consistency of a scallop, but it's not actually seafood.
Exactly. Right now they have scallops and tuna. It is the same price as the real thing at this point. So if you were to go to the supermarket, for your listeners who are home cooks, you know that scallops can be very pricey. They're about $28 a pound. Right now, they are going for the same price for this lab-grown version. Something to note, though, it is being sold for restaurants at this point. So there is a Chicago restaurant that's already using it, and it is meant to be used in raw dishes. So it mimics a sushi-grade fish. You can use it in things like crudos, tartars, makis, those kind of dishes. So it's really not supposed to touch any heat.
I think about things like imitation crab, you know, when you go to the salad bar and you see that is an option.
Yeah.
Imitation scallops and all these things. I just have to wonder if it's going to even taste the same. I have so many questions about this. Sounds gross to me.
Have you tried it, Kelly?
I did try it, and it was prepared by Chef Marcos Campos at Mama Delia. For those who are familiar with Chicago, it's in Wicker Park. Now, it was fantastic. I mean, you have to consider, though, he is a chef that runs Michelin-recognized restaurants, so he is preparing it to, you know, amazing taste.
Yes. What'd you eat?
Now, we had the tuna and I can't remember what exactly was in it. I have to tell you, we reported on this back in October, and we are now finally presenting it today. But the texture is certainly not precisely the same as the scallops and the tuna. But the taste was incredible. Something, though, that you have to think about is I think a lot of people go to these products for either the omega-3s found in fish, or maybe you're trying to get your protein intake in. You're not getting it with these products.
Yes.
So you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. The other thing, though, is if you were at a table with someone who really has a allergy to this at a restaurant and you can't order the real thing because they can't be near it, well, that kind of goes out the window here.
Right.
Because that alleviates any allergen issues. You can be pregnant and you can eat this. If you're a huge sushi lover and you're worried about that while you're pregnant, well, this will kind of satisfy those cravings. Well,
there you have it. Kelly Siberia, Happy New Year to you. Thank you. We'll look for your report on Fox Business.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Take care of yourself. I didn't want to say this to her, but the name she was searching for was Tuna Surprise, because that would be a surprise. I would hope that if you walked into a restaurant, they would have to have it on the menu warning you that what you're ordering is not really seafood.
Just like they can't call a regular burger, they can't call an Impossible Burger a regular burger. They have to differentiate it, right?
Well, it's
plant-based or Impossible Burger.
It's not
on
meat.
The menu.
It's impossible. It's not meat. It's
right, like, so they have to say, was this Impossible Fish?
This says fish-free tuna. Why is the word tuna even in there?
So is that how it would appear on a menu?
I don't know. I saw that story. I'm like, I got to let people hear more about this just to give them a heads up if nothing else. All right. We're about out of time here. Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you for making us and this show part of your life in 2024. We're looking forward to a great 2025. January 20th can't get here fast enough, for sure. Stay tuned for the Brian Kilmeade Show. I don't know if Brian's on there today or not. He's probably off for the new year. But then, of course, we'll have programming the rest of the day. The Annie Fry Show, the Mark Reardon Show. Happy New Year. We're off tomorrow, and we'll see you back here Thursday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.